can't read what I wrote. Thank you. I want to welcome you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we're getting ready for the festivities for next week and in our homes and stuff. It brings to my heart to see you guys, to know that God wants to do something awesome through you, whether you believe it or not. If we would just take our Bibles and say this simple prayer. Lord, I have your word and I believe it's true. Oh, come on. Come on. That's pathetic. Lord, I have your word and I know it's true. That's more like it. That's more like it. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Gary's name. Oh, that's better yet. Somebody's awake. Thank you, Miss Holly. Today, I'm going to sum up a section of scripture or a title of Building Overcomers. This is what we will be doing in the coming year to overcome not only ourselves, but our situations to promote the kingdom of God. And so today is embracing the cross. Great message for Christmas, right? If we would have Matthew 10 up, please. Jesus is speaking. He says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There are only two types of people in the world. Really. I call them the believers and the make-believers. Make-believers do all the Christianese stuff, but really there's no penetration or conviction of the heart that will allow them to differentiate themselves from the world. And then those are those who are the believers, who understand the cost that it will take to follow Jesus, whether it's celebrating baby Jesus in the manger or celebrating his resurrection from Easter. What is consistent is people of God are different than the people of the world. Everything about the kingdom is revelatory. By that I mean that there is no greater revelation than the cross. And we need to understand that having a revelation of the cross is poignant to the degree of our walk in Jesus Christ. We need to experience a deeper revelation than the one we have right now. We need to embrace it, for without embracing the cross, we cannot change. Picking up our cross every day is something that is not an option for us. It is a requirement for us. For every time that we go to the cross about our lives that are now hidden in Jesus Christ, more of his life is revealed through us. I used the example last week of every time we stay on the cross, no matter what the pressures of the world is dictating to us, light is emanating from our lives. How many have seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge? I saw it last night, and I'll tell you what. I would encourage you to see it. Not with kids, because it is graphic. It depicts the horrors of a war in such a way that could upset them. But the common theme throughout this movie is this person held to his convictions so much so that he would not take a rifle to defend himself. He would let God defend himself in battle. And it's a story. It's a true story of what had happened to one individual in World War II. And I would encourage you, and I'm going to reference some of that today to you, to understand what it means to really take up your cross. John 17:3 says to us, now this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, God the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus is not saying to know about God, because there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of knowledge about God, but they don't have a relationship with Him. To know God is to know Him so intimately that the convictions of your heart will play out in the reality of life. This individual went to boot camp and would not take up a gun to qualify for rifle expert shooting and stuff. He wanted to be a medic, and all medics were required to carry an arm, sidearm or something, but he did not. He went into battle without that arm, that comfort that comes. He only believed in God to protect him. And because of his convictions, his platoon mates beat him up. His drill sergeant ridiculed him in front of the troops to demoralize him, to make him quit. But his conviction was so strong that even an accusation of a person who would not take up arms was labeled a coward. And later on in the movie, the troops went up on a hill. They were assaulting the Japanese forces. One day the U.S. would go in to assault and displace the Japanese. The next day the Japanese would assault and take them over. And one of these days that he went up there, everyone retreated but him. And it shows the depiction of his conviction that God was going to protect him and he was going to rescue the injured. And from his conviction, 75 other soldiers were rescued from Japanese mistreatment, maltreatment, because they would go through the day and shoot all the survivors. They didn't want to take any prisoners. And so it was quite a unique situation that this man was steadying his convictions to the point of rescuing these men. There was no one else there to help. And he kept on asking God, help me rescue just one more. Are you so convicted in your life that you are willing to stand up against all opposition that the world would throw against you, label you, and really trust God in such a way? A few of us have experienced things in our lives that would be equal to that plane. But rarely do most of us really have the convictions that are needed. A lot of times the pressure for us to conform to what the world wants allows us to come off the cross and conform. But what I'm calling for each and every one of us now is to really not only know what you believe, but have a conviction that is so centered in Jesus Christ that no matter what the pressures of the world is, we would no longer comply to those things. Jesus is talking here about taking up the cross. And what he's talking about is not something that we like to hear. As I stated before in previous messages and in dispersion of the information I gave you about our strongholds, they are all part of who we were. Hear me. Who we were. I have spent this year really trying to encourage you to really get the idea that you are a supernatural people destined to do supernatural things. And as long as we hold on to our old life, we will never have eternal life. It's not knowing about God, it's knowing Him intimately. It's like knowing our spouses. Those of us who are married know the ins and outs of our spouses. So much so that we sometimes complete sentences as they're speaking or do things to bless each other. How much more does God want us to do that? And to have this conviction, we must endure the shame and the agonizing pain that comes with it, because now we're wrestling within our soul. Jesus was talking about our soul life. In our souls are contain our mind, our will, and our emotions. And he has wiped away everything of the flesh, which is related to sin. But he has not eradicated our memories. And so, the war goes on in here. Do I or do I not honor God? And as we saw, Jesus went right to the root of everything. He went right to the root that no action can occur until there's a thought about that action. And we must predetermine how we're going to respond to every situation. Because God has given us His promise that He is in there with us no matter what. He is so much so desirous for us to succeed that He will lead us through. He says when you find yourself in the waters, He's there. He tells us that when we find ourselves in the fire, He is there. But he also tells us that he will lead us out of those things. What it's depicting is the pressures of this world's life to have us conform to it. And God says he doesn't want us to conform. He wants us to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. So it starts with our thinking. Satan is such a liar. This week I've, if you guys have noticed that I have this constant nose drip, and it blew out into a full, gone cold, of which one day my nose was running without any sneakers. So much so that, you know, every once in a while I get a drip now, but not anything like it was before. Why? Because I don't ask God to heal me. I declare God has already healed me. By His stripes, I am healed. And we need to stop with this infantile way of praying for people and declare the wondrous words of God in sending forth His truth so that people will be healed. They will recover and they will glorify God. And so this coming year, that's what we're going to do. We're going to elevate your faith in such a way that you too will take dominion. No weapon formed against me. No matter how much Satan tried to tell me that I was sick and all, I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. How many of us come off the cross and declare that we're sick? It's a matter of how we think about things. It really is. Let me give you an illustration. How many of us have gone to work day after day after day, and then we're so tired, we need a mental health day, and we call in sick? I don't think I can make it in today. All right, take care of yourself. We'll see when you can get back. Click. Oh, let's go to the shore. Let's do this. Let's do that. We all do it. I don't. Because I don't have a secular job any longer. And I can't say to Jesus, I need a day off. We've seen that commercial where the father comes in and he says, you know, I need a day off. And he pans over to the kid in the crib. You know, parenting, you don't get a day off. You know, you just have to suck it through. But this is what I'm talking about. When we think about the Word of God, it's more than just thinking about it. It's declaring it. I can't. I won't. I shouldn't. You know what? Let's start agreeing with God. Let's start declaring. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us crucify our flesh, which Jesus did, and not allow the flesh to try to convince us otherwise. We need to dictate to our flesh what the truth is about everything. Everything that Jesus spoke to us is spirit and life. Everything. And to follow Jesus requires us to deny our soulish life. We are to take the same road of sacrifices and service that He took. When people call, do we use caller ID and say, oh man, I don't want to answer the phone about this. Or do we pick it up? Yeah, what do you want? Or our attitudes, hey, how you doing? What can I do for you? I've given you three distinct attitudes that lead on to the next action that we take, depending on our maturity in Christ. And Christ wants us to sacrifice and serve one another. Not just out of duty, but really having a love for each other. Through our sacrifice and service, we come to realize two things. We come to realize how wicked sin is, and we do, and how deceived we are in trying to do things like the world in the kingdom. That's why I say, you know, I'm only interested in God's plans, because it challenges me to die even more. I don't want to know about the plans that you have. I want to know the plans that God has given to you so that we can work together. Jesus doesn't force us to follow Him. There's nowhere in the scriptures that I've found that He says, you know, you're going to follow me no matter what. He doesn't even cause us to live by his standards of discipleship. That's kind of odd. Following a king who leaves the choice up to us. And every day we make choices whether to follow Jesus or not to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus means I take up my cross, no matter what I think, no matter what I do what he wants me to do. Because I love Jesus. I love everything about Jesus. I would not know success in Jesus unless I followed him. Or, of course, I could remain selfish and self-centered and do the things that are convenient. His simple requirements are to pick up one's cross, to deny our soul life, and to follow him. The moment we do decide to follow him, we answer his call, no matter what shame, no matter how much suffering we do. Our conviction must be equal to that individual who was in the movie of Hacksaw Ridge. So much so that one, he withstood the beatings from his fellow army mates to even a point of resisting, so much so a direct order that he was being led to court-martial. And he would have spent time in the brig. Then discharged with a dishonorable discharge. How we think matters. All of us enjoy things. I mean, this year God has added the lights up here. Every year something more happens because someone is willing or some bodies are willing to sacrifice just a little bit that can bring us joy in this season. I know who that individual is and individuals are, but the point is they sacrifice to bring us to a point of enjoyment. And we're to enjoy this life that we have, but Christians think it is arduous to follow after Christ. So arduous to give of our substance, because after all, you know, I would rather rob God than sacrifice what I want to do. The truth of the matter is, we are so immature in how we're thinking about things that we need to begin to change that over. How does transformation take place? Romans tells us. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern in this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test, to prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many believe that God's will is mysterious? That we can't know his will. By this scripture, it tells us we can and we should know his will. And I can't tell you how many meetings I've been in through the years where I hear people make a grandiose dissertation of their prayer, and at the end say, if it be your will. If it be your will. That tells me a whole lot about the relationship that has. Because I know God's will. Why? Because I spend time with him. I want to know what he's thinking, what he's speaking about. I want to know him so intimately that every step that I take is a decision that I make to expand the kingdom. It deals with our thoughts. Remember, you can't have an action without a thought. Paul says he takes captive every thought to punish every act of disobedience. Sometimes we're thinking about stuff and we do the complete opposite of what we're told to do. Our mind must be focused on God because we died on a cross. Our memories have to be renewed. That's not to say that our memories disappear. What it says is there's a new way of thinking about them. I think about a lot of things, and Irene sometimes comes and she says to me, what are you thinking about? And it's like, I need specifics. I can't deal with generalities. And that's just how it is sometimes. But then I eventually get around to telling her what I'm thinking about. And we've been talking about transition. We've been talking about what it's going to look like this coming year. We're talking about the plans of what's gotta happen and what God is leading for Streams of Life. This is what I think about. I don't think about what's going on. Christmas time is probably the worst time for me because it's like we have a little thing in our family. We call it at Thanksgiving we make up our Christmas list, our wish list, and we write down things. This is great for me because I don't have to think about it. And I don't want to think about it. I want to bless her. I want to be able to purchase gifts that would bless her. But I want to think about the kingdom. I want to think about what God's doing. I want to think about what he wants to do and how he wants to use Streams to fulfill that. I have progressed in some ways, been transformed, not by the world's standards, but by God's standard. I have a very strong conviction about the kingdom. Even to a point where I've been accused by the evil one that I'm in the flesh about certain decisions that I make. But all decisions I make are based on God and his word. So I know it's not true. We must understand that for us to progress is to know the will of God. Everything we say or do has to be based on the word of God. It has to control us. It has to lead us on to life because my life is now hidden in Jesus Christ and so is yours. Our sinful life, Jesus has atoned for. What he gives to us is his word to renew our mind. Or, for those who are computer literate, we're rebooting, reprogramming the way we think. Because the way we think, presently, will not work for us in the kingdom. Think about it. I like to use giving to God in whatever respect that there may be, financially or whatever. There are some here who really have embraced what God has said to them and have become a real blessing to Streams. There are some here that have been a blessing to Streams in other ways. But it deals with our motivation. And every motivation is controlled by every thought. How I think, how I speak, how I conduct myself, as I said to an individual, I do purposely to test that person. Because after all, one of my responsibilities is to test the young men to see if they're worthy of continuing this expansion of the kingdom. Even after I expire from this world. The Christian lifestyle is different than any other lifestyle. Galatians 1 says, Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. How many of us can attest how evil this age is? We should all. But understand, it's no more evil now than it was in Jesus' times. All that's happening is the evil is being publicized more. And so what we're seeing here is Jesus purged us from the sin so that we no longer act like this evil age, nor think like this evil age. And just like the movie depicted, we have to have strong conviction in what we believe in who we believe in. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Ignorance is a word referring to us being children. Children don't know everything that's going on. They just act like kids. I mean, I watch all the kids in here and I enjoy how they interact, and they're just being kids. I enjoy the times that we get to watch our grandson or granddaughter, because they make us laugh. They are simplistic. They're not aware of danger. They just experience life. To be obedient, children, is to understand that we have now become citizens of a future world, a future kingdom. When I died on the cross, everything that you see now is because of Jesus Christ. And the life I live now is the life of Jesus Christ emanating from me, emanating from you, who has touched your hearts, who has done things in which you have conviction to do for the expansion of the kingdom. It doesn't matter what our pigmentation is. It doesn't matter what our economic part of our ladder is. All that matters is that we respond to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in such a way that we can claim that we are His disciples. Now, discipleship is filled with a lot of boring things, if that's your attitude. Oh, I gotta read the scriptures. Man. I gotta do this because the scriptures say I gotta do this. Well, that's duty. That's not love. Strains was founded on a simple verse, John 13:35. Dan knows it. Right. It's our reality. Many people talk about loving, but have no understanding what that means. Part of loving is sacrificing what you want for someone else. This person who was in the movie didn't want to be where he was at. Think about it. How many of us could have withstood or even had the courage to stand for one moment in a suicidal charge, and yet he did, even though being called a coward. He was very, very courageous. So courageous that all night long, while he was up on Hacksaw Ridge, he was saving 75 men from certain doom. And only asking God, give him strength to save one more. What are we asking God for? He knows we need jobs. He knows that he wants to advance his kingdom. He knows that it's going to take time. But do we give him the time to work out those details in our life? Or are we coming off the cross trying to help him because the pressure seems so great that Daddy needs help? Daddy doesn't need our help. He needs us to stay where we are on the cross. We have to understand that by embracing the cross, our self-life slowly dies. The cross, remember, is an element of slow death, torture. And we die slowly. We die in our mind, slowly. Our flesh has been dealt with, but our minds have not been dealt with. And if we take our minds to the cross, we will really begin to start understanding that in the mind is the root of all who we are. We change the way we think, transformation occurs from our heart. Our old way of thinking will not work in this new life that we have. I know. I've tried. I've tried to walk this thing out, bringing my wife and my kids along with me, kicking and screaming. And I'll tell you what. It did not work because they resisted. It wasn't love. It was duty that was propelling me to think that I'm doing something great for God. What is God saying to you? What are you thinking on? Are you meditating on the Word of God? Hebrews says, for the Word of God is and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Many of us don't like to read the Word of God because our attitudes and thoughts are being judged. I stand here before you. I'm guilty. My thoughts haven't completely changed. I'm dying slowly on the cross. I don't want to be conformed to this world. This world has nothing to offer me or my family except heartache and distress. Following Jesus gives me something that we all look for. Peace. And you know what? Following Jesus is a guarantee to that peace. We do things to celebrate because our friends are doing it. I used to be part of a baseball team. I was a manager of a baseball team. And I got saved. And one of the guys on the baseball team said to me, Gary, I don't like how you are. I don't like how you are. You used to go and party in the bars with us. You used to do this. You used to do that. And I said to him, I like who I am now. I like who I am. And most of us don't even want to look at ourselves in a way that convicts us to change. We're afraid to change. We're afraid of what our so-called friends would say about us. Well, the truth of the matter is, if you're more worried about what they say about you than what God says about you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. I came to the realization that all those years I was trying to appease people, I was actually losing my own identity. Who I was. Who did God want me to be? I had no conviction. I did things the way I thought should have been done. I spoke the way I did, irregardless of a person's heart, trashing them. But because of the Holy Spirit, because the things that Irene and I discussed, how much I'm dedicated. Every morning I go into my office and I seek God. I seek God. I want to know what He's saying. And so I open up His Word. And His Word is so powerful that it convicts me to change. Not every day. Because after all, we must realize that taking up our cross, we die slowly. We are no longer to conform to this world. We must have new life experiences to begin to bring conflict to our mind. And in those experiences, we agonize. We suffer. We begin to understand how deceptive the world is to us, how evil sin is to us. I said to Denise a couple weeks ago, I said, the older I get, the more wicked I find sin is in me. And yeah, it's by the grace of God that I am who I am today. But if I didn't have God in my life, how deceived would I be? How wicked would I be? Because I would not take control of my thoughts. I would just do whatever. Praise God that He wants me to be with Him. He wants me to love Him with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. And He wants that for you too. The process looks like this. I'm about processes. That's the anointing I have. When we read the Word of God, we become informed. We become informed to His truth and to what He says about every circumstances and every situation. With that, my mind is constantly being bombarded with His thoughts because I read His thoughts and I agonize over that. Just like Jesus did on the cross for us. The next step is that when I'm convinced that it is truth, the Holy Spirit begins to work in my life. He takes that truth that we accept, or I accept, and He begins to start chiseling into my heart. And that chiseling is transforming me into the likeness of Jesus Christ. from the inside. And every time I make a decision that is contrary to the world's decision, Jesus escapes. We are children of the light. Remember when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration? All of a sudden, the disciples saw him as he was. He was glorious. He was captivating. He was pure light. That's what's contained in us. That pure light, that power that Jesus wants to come out. Or the tomb of Lazarus. When he calls Lazarus forth, he sent his disciples to unleash him. We are not to be like the world any longer. We may do things like the world, but that's only for a season, because as God continues to enlighten us, when we've spoken about the progressive revelation of God, we can read the same scripture over and over, and then all of a sudden, bang, it jumps off the scripture's pages, and all of a sudden, we understand what he's been saying. The reason for it is because we're maturing. We're transforming our minds into what the scripture says. We have the mind of Christ. We can think, we can know, we can understand what Christ would have done and act accordingly, because our thoughts are now flowing with our Father's. You know, it isn't easy, and I found this out, it's not easy to know God's will. Wait for it. When we release control of our lives, our lives no longer consist of do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. What constrains us is love for each other. We in leadership are experiencing that commitment to each other that Christ has. We at Streams are experiencing that commitment we have for each other, to encourage each other, to build each other up, so that we can be more than what the world says we are. All of us have obstacles in which we must overcome. But it all starts with your thinking. How do you think will determine how you will act, will determine your destiny. And I have a little saying on my wall, is that you change a thought, turns into an action. That action becomes a habit. That habit turns into a journey, and that journey will turn into your destiny. It starts right there by how you think. I don't care what the world says about me. I don't care about filling shoes that are too big for me to fill. As I said to my friend, I like who I am now. For once in my life, I like who I am. And a lot of times, we have all this anger and frustration that's going on, but we don't have peace. And the first thing that Jesus said when he rose from the dead and came back to visit the disciples, he said, "Peace be unto you." Do you have peace? We have to become disciplined to deny our former lives We have to deny what the world says. I mean, if we sit in front of the boob tube, all of us should be out there buying Lexuses, doing flips in our driveway. I'm sure you've seen those commercials where a little kid is by the car, and next thing you know, he's an adult, and his wife is like, "Yeah, what's wrong with you, dude?" Or we need certain foods, or we need to perform certain rituals that will make us acceptable to our friends and family. I would say, throw all that away. Throw it away. Do what God says. You're not alone. God is with you. He's just waiting for you to have that conviction that will change your life. I want to wrap it up with this scripture. John says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. No greater love has anyone than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." Are you his friend? We are his friends. "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I call you my friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you." As we go into the holidays, let us love one another. Let us not allow what they think control us to act accordingly. Let us influence them. That's how the kingdom is expanded. The hope of Jesus Christ is contained in this, to love. Love from a pure, sincere heart. There are people that we know that are hurting, and we just walk by and we continue on. What would Jesus do? As this person's crying out for help, would he just, chill, dude? Or would he stop? Because at that very moment, that person was the center of God's attention. We talk about missions. I've been to the mission field. Dan's been to the mission field. We've been to countries that have far less than the poor in this country. What would God have you to say, to do, to send? But send it with love. Christmas is a great time for us to evaluate where we are and what God is saying for the future. I know what God is saying to me, not only for the ministry, but also for our family. And we want more of what God has planned for us. Isn't it about time that we stop pretending and get real? Be real with the love that we have for each other. Real about growing up in Christ and taking our position. Genesis 1:28 talks about dominion. Dominion isn't just a thought that was in God's eyes. Dominion is what he wants all of us to have. Isn't it time we begin to exercise that dominion? We're exhorted to submit ourselves to leaders. We're to pray for them. And one of the biggest and strongest areas that the church is miserably performing is we want power, but we don't want the sacrifice. Look at Acts and see what happened when the church got together and prayed. It was power. Yeah, I'm busy, Pastor. You know, I'll be there in spirit. No, you won't. No, you won't. You either be there or you won't. The church has to come together. And we really have to love Christ first, supremely above our families, supremely above everything that's going on in there, and be willing to sacrifice. The cost may seem to be tremendous, but the result is worth it. As we get prepare for the new year, let us think about these things. Let us really see where we're at individually and how we can serve one another in a way to expand the kingdom. In a real way. The decisions are yours. All I can say is Christ died on the cross for us. All he's asking us to do is do the same. Damn.